The Trash Torch Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, Smash Master, Derby Parts, and Derby Ink Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Ink. The Wadena Grand Slam, August 16th, Wadena County Fairgrounds, Wadena, Minnesota. And the Keystone Nationals, a Bo Lockwood Motorsports production, July 19th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
New intro for everybody. Hope you like that. That's a little bit of some of the work that we were doing here yesterday and today, and got that stuff together. So good show tonight. A lot of stuff going on. We're going to be talking with Tony Brellinger, and we're going to be talking with Brian Bruss here in just a little bit about the Team Compact action over at Metal Mayhem. I'm Chris Marquardt. This is episode number 39 of the Crash Course Podcast. We've got Ben Haust in the studio as well. Josh is at home, feverishly wrenching away, trying to make up for any lost time as he gets ready to go to the Northeast Championship. The first leg is this weekend. So he's busy with that, and then Brian had to work because he ended up taking a couple days off there to go out to your show, Morris. So he's making up time. Yeah, so it's just the two of us tonight, but we're going to talk a little bit about compacts. Happy birthday to our compact expert, if you will. Been on the show a couple times, Guy Raymond.
Guy Raymond
celebrating a birthday. Hopefully Josh was wishing him happy birthday a little bit earlier, saying hopefully he gets a little bit of wrench time in the garage, so that's cool. Guy's getting ready to load for Bear. He's going to bring a whole bunch of stuff when they do that big show at the Tioga County Fair down in Owego.
Yeah.
They've got that big 2000 win show. It's July 9th and 11th. It's right there, the same time frame as the Cuca Clash on July 8th, and then Saturday the Yates County Fair Championship on the 12th. So, he's got a whole pile of compacts. There's gonna be a lot of compact cars destroyed that day.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was always a good show down there. That was always a real good show down there.
Get some mood lighting turned on over here.
I also see their the new asphalt track down there. Shangri-La track. I see it was Gary Noll or somebody posted on there. They put in a special section on the inside of the track. The guy wants to start doing derbies there on asphalt.
Cool.
I was like, I remember I ran two or three derbies down there on asphalt. There's nothing like that. That's awesome.
Swing that mic a little just your way. You don't have to share it with Josh. Swing it your way a little bit.
Yeah, Josh isn't here. So
yeah, you can swing it your way.
I can talk. There you go. You can hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you a lot better now. All
right. I'm not going to talk that much, so.
No, it's okay. Well, I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. Yeah. We got Wadena, obviously. We're going to talk about Wadena, and that's it's one of the next big team formats that we've got coming up. I'm going to get Brian here in just a minute or two, but CJ Barnes came away with a win in Remsen.
He was probably pumped. He's a card. He's a good time, that guy there. I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
I know we're going to be seeing him here at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Blizzard Bash, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing him there, and certainly it's going to be something seriously mean and evil that he brings down there.
Yeah.
Those guys know how to have a good time. They'll get down there on Thursday, and they won't go to sleep till Sunday morning.
Yep.
And they'll just work and cover a lot of bases if they don't have anything to do.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But they're a lot of fun, so congratulations to him. That's the second win this year in just a matter of 2 weeks for NDC members, so that was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Exciting to see. Membership is up. Guard Speed Shop.
I seen
stepped
that
up to the plate. How about that?
I seen that posted. I'm like, hurry up, let's hurry up and get that. I want to see if I never win anything, but you never know.
Yeah, I've been working a little bit with Jeremy in terms of how all that stuff was going to come together, and we were able to make that happen for just as he was going on vacation, and I had a couple quick questions, so I talked to his dad and got the details straight on it, and we released it. And there's only, I mean, I checked again today, and there was another half dozen or so entries that were filed, so space is running out. If you want to get in on that offer, it's a 2G carburetor, Rochester 2-barrel.
Yep.
And an aftermarket distributor set up. And then the first 150 registered members of the NDC, they'll go into a drawing, name pulled at random.
Yep.
You will then be in contact with Guard Speed Shop.
to tune it to your
and
motor.
And they're going to give you the carburetor, and then they'll match you up with the right distributor and help figure out what your setup is and get you set up so that when you get it, you basically bolt it on. It's going to be running an optimum.
But that's just cool that they jumped up, you know what I mean? It's just
in a hurry.
NDC, they jumped right up on board and said, hey, let's throw this out there. I'm sure there's going to be lots of other vendors that are going to jump on board too, I'm sure. I mean, not putting words in their mouth, but I would anticipate.
Like perhaps Baldwin Racing Engines.
Yeah, I see there's a big poll out. Did you see that?
Who today, in conversations back and forth with them, are going to be offering NDC members half-off shipping of engines.
Wow. Yeah, that's saving some bucks there.
That's a step, yeah. Right? And they've got some other little things that they're trying to work out, but they're not so worried about the minutia on that stuff at this point. But the big step,
is that
they're going to try and do discounted shipping for members. You know, that's a big chunk of money.
Yeah. I mean, that'll at least fill up their fuel cell once or twice.
Right.
You know. But, you know, I mean, $14 a gallon for race gas. So. But no, that's, like I said, I mean, it's just one here.
What poll was that?
There was a poll on they got the big poll out for Keystone Nationals. What
who's going to win?
One engine's going to be victorious, and the red lines or the Baldwins or the guards and the grops. And
so what do you think? Did you vote?
No, I didn't vote yet. That's I think it's going to come down to a red line or a Baldwin. That's a safe bet. I think.
So are you saying it's going to come down to Pete Hansen or one of the Sciopas?
I don't know. From the picture I seen of Pete, I mean, he's got a whole fleet of red lines now. So it's he's got just as many red lines as I think Sciopa's got Baldwins.
He's got just as many red lines as he has Rivieras.
Yeah. Yep.
So here we got Brian Bruss on the phone, and I've been arguing with myself if I'm saying that thing right, because every time I say it, it sounds wrong. Brian, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you guys doing?
We're not doing good. Too bad. Hey, congratulations to come away with a win there in the Team Compact program at Metal Mayhem. That's not too bad a feather to put in your hat.
Hey, not at all. We're all pretty excited, still kind of taking it in. Don't really know what to think at this point, to be honest. Weren't expecting that, but hey, it happened. So.
You know that highlight of the guy that rolled the other guy over during the compact heat?
That was me. Correct.
That was Brian.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that. I mean, tell us what it's like to come away with a win in an event of that stage. I mean, like you said, it's still having some trouble coming to grips with it.
Yeah, it's just kind of kicking in. It was just kind of a bucket list thing we wanted to do. All four of us wanted to run a big show at some point. So when the registration came, I think it was back in December, and then we kind of threw it together last minute. I think everything sold out within a month or a couple weeks or whatever it was. But we weren't actually even in the original eight teams. I think we were one of the four additional teams that got added, so that was lucky for us. But just going down there and running against some of those guys, probably some of the hardest cars we've seen. So
that was your first time. That was your first time at Mayhem, then.
Yeah, none of us had even been down there to watch, to be honest. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the compacts usually are not a letdown at all. They're definitely excitable. You guys kept up the tradition, that's for sure.
That's one of the divisions that I love to watch when we go out of town, because there's so many different places that run compacts, and they have such a varied set of rules no matter where you go. Oh. And like we've talked about Shenandoah County before, and how everybody down there is just sort of way out of their mind. And the six-cylinder cars are just awesome to watch. And they break it up. They put the fours over here, and they put the sixes over here, and all the sixes, you get like six or eight of them out there, and they use all, 250 feet that they've got, and they just wail on each other. And Brian can relate to that. Brian, Brian pretty much goes hammer down every time he's out, and that was sort of a hallmark of what that compact show was, and now continues to be at Metal Mayhem, and did a pretty good job of carrying the torch with that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's good to hear, because a lot of guys will say the compact is when they go take a bathroom break or go get something to eat or whatever, because they say it's boring. So
No, sir.
No.
Hopefully we turn that around at Mayhem when we were running heats that were under 5 minutes that were just crazy. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember what the I had the number on how long their heat was, and it was just as fast as some of those full size heats in the team formats we've seen.
Right.
Yeah, our heat was just over four minutes and we had 2 stoppages, so
yeah, you got it done.
It was rather crazy. We all kind of gathered afterwards and we're just like, what the heck just happened, you know, because it went so fast. And
yeah.
It was quite the experience.
How tough is it to run a heat format with the compact cars? I mean, you run so much risk with, and you got to really, really protect the front end because it's not as easy to fix the front end components as on the front wheel drive vehicles as you do with a rear wheel drive or full size car. I mean, how difficult is the heat and feature format, and is that more of a viable option for some of these county fairs going forward?
I think it is. We were pretty nervous going into it because obviously with the smaller cars, there's not as much there as the full-size guys, and never seeing this type of event actually happen, we didn't know how much damage we were going to sustain in the heat and have to fix. So we basically brought enough parts to rebuild 2 cars. We had all luminas. All of our luminas were like 90 to 93 lumina, so all of our parts were pretty much interchangeable between all 4 of our guys, which was nice. But yeah. As fast as the heats went, we didn't sustain too much damage, actually. We had to change 2 struts before Saturday was our biggest thing, and then one of our trunks was completely in the rear tire, so we had to get that pulled out. But otherwise, for us, it wasn't too bad, actually, so I think it could be sustainable for other shows to do something similar, to be honest.
I mean, it's not quite the same situation if you break a CV or something like that. You can't fix that quite as readily as you do if you just got to replace an axle or something like that. Mm-hmm. Take some creative welding if you want to try and tackle that project. But you guys were hitting smart. You kept the wheel straight. It sounded like you were getting hit with the steering wheel full lock one way or the other. And
right.
You know, you're playing the game right. I mean, we saw that happen at Yates County Speedway. Sean Ingraham had a great run going, but Ian Doyle hit him with the full lock left, and those wheels were just a spin. And after that, the steering was gone, and it affected the front end of that bad, and it was over. So if that was a heat feature format, he would have been in some real trouble. But, you know, that's why they do one shots. And I wouldn't mind seeing some of these guys do heats and features.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. We do heats and features at our shows. And it's by the time these guys come into the feature, it's like half the guys make them back out there to qualified. But they want to run heats and features. That's the only thing. I mean, there's definitely a lot more excitement if it was just a one-and-done type situation. It'd be similar to a team format, you know.
Yeah.
You know, not exactly, but at least you're going for, you know, all the, you know, you're going for the big money all at once instead of trying to save something for the feature.
Right. You just hang it all out there.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Felice has been a big proponent of that. Mm-hmm. Would you prefer to run twice through the course of the night and have to fix it, or would you rather just show up and not have to bring any spare parts and spare tools and just run once and then put it on the trailer and watch the rest of the show?
I honestly like running heats. It gives you that second chance if something dumb happens right away, you know, and something breaks or –
right.
There's still usually tons. Up here in Minnesota, we run a lot of heats and features. So
right.
Basically, if they get enough cars at most of the places to run heats, they will. And you'll see heats of like 8 to 10 cars or whatnot and take 4 however many out of it. So
right.
I guess that wasn't too different for us. I think we're kind of used to that. A lot of guys are pretty good at changing struts and CV shafts between heats. So
mm-hmm.
I mean,
it wasn't too different for us, to be honest.
We saw Greg Mayer. And I think it was the Katzenbachs that did pretty well up at Winter Slam.
Oh yeah.
And that
yeah.
was a one shot deal. Mm-hmm. The team show in Wadena is going to be full size this year. Wadena County Fair, WadenaCountyFair.com, the Wadena Grand Slam. Now, Brian, what are some of your thoughts if they expanded that thing and let the compact guys do a team format up there as well?
Well, I'm hoping something like that happens. It'd be heck of a lot closer. Wadena's only about an hour, if that, for most our whole team that ran down there. So
right.
It'd be heck of a deal. And we don't really have a lot of big events up here, to be honest, though. R&R Rob Baker tried to do one back in 2009, and we ran that show. But that one kind of fizzled out, too. And we just haven't seen a lot since then as far as the big payout shows here in Minnesota. So.
I'm surprised.
Winter Slam, which is that winter one like you guys came up to, but in the summer, not quite as much up here in the northern part of the state. So,
well, Wadena's quite a ways up there. It is.
Yeah, it
I'm concerned about snow in August.
Oh, no, don't have to worry about that. But like, we're pretty far up in north central Minnesota. Our drive down to Mayhem was about 10 hours for our team to get down there.
So wow,
it'd be nice to see something come up this way. So,
I mean, is that something that you've got? Have you got Darren Agard in the fair board's ear? Are you trying to talk them into doing something like that this year, or at least put it on the plans to do it for next year?
That's the hope. They're running the team show for the full-size guys this year, and then they got the filler classes. They're running compacts there. I think they're running little trucks and then a full-size truck. I don't know if they're doing welder chain. I can't remember exactly
chain.
For the full-size truck.
They're doing
truck,
chain.
But
we'll hear about that more later in the end.
Back together for that. And there's some talk out there kind of talking towards a possible compact team show or doing something different if the show goes off well. So hopefully we'll move down that road.
You keep pushing because I want to see it.
I
want to see 5 minute compact heats.
Well, it kind of. I mean, it really. I gotta agree with you there. It kind of makes sense because you're bringing another genre of drivers in. You know, you got your full size guys that want to run your full size team competition, and now I think this compact team competition is going to start getting a little bit more steam behind it in. It makes sense for a promoter to do that. You know, it's that many more cars, it's that many more people, and
well, I'm surprised how much momentum this team thing has picked up.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard about it a little bit, and it sort of gained a little bit of traction. What was it, back in 2011?
Yeah.
Total Destruction even tried
a team format
at Morris.
Yep.
And little by little, there's more and more of this has gained traction and a stronger footing. And yeah. Blizzard Bash, obviously, that's a great one, and now they're trying this one here. And trying this one here in Wadena, yeah. Mandan, mm-hmm. they had one a couple weeks ago, and mm-hmm. then the T-Bone, that's a team of two.
Right.
And Maymania, that's teams of two.
Right.
And, I'd love to see the compacts go out there and just slam away, you know, 4-on-4, definitely.
Yeah. We were pretty successful with it for a few years, and then I think it fizzled because of, it was segregated to one area. And I think the key is you got to kind of move it around a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. You got to move it around, like you said. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of spread it out.
Yeah.
They have the team show there at Cuba as well.
Yeah, and that was gaining good steam. I mean, and I'm right on board. I mean, I think these compacts, maybe that's something. Hey, maybe that you get that stuck in my head. Maybe that'll be something we'll try next.
All right, Brian, that's something else you got to work on. You got to get stuck in Ben's head too. So what's next from here? Are you running any place? Are you going to run Wadena?
Most likely I'm leaning towards it. Got a kid now, so cuts into my build time. I actually kind of hung it up 2 years ago, and now I'm kind of getting back into it, to be honest. So mm-hmm. not building as many cars as I once was, but my Mayhem car saw the frame rack last week, so it'll be back somewhere. I'm not sure where I'm going to take it yet. And then I got one more for this year, so possibly Wadena. I haven't really decided yet.
Right. But,
is there any place else on the schedule that you might try to hit before that?
It'll be local shows here in Minnesota, to be honest. I haven't really picked exactly where I'm going to go yet. So, I know our team, we run north central Minnesota, Perham, Ottertail, St. Cloud area, anywhere around there, basically. We like to travel, though, too, try out some new shows. Kind of why we wanted to do the Mayhem thing. It's kind of getting into all front-wheel drives up here, and we haven't ran into any rear-wheel drives in quite a while. So
literally,
it's fun to go down there and run against some Pacers again and Mustang 2s and those Camaros. That was a new experience for us. So.
Yeah.
Did you learn anything to bring back home?
Did we what?
Did you learn anything to bring back home? You going to start running Camaros and Mustang 2s?
Yeah, what'd you think of them Camaros?
What'd you think?
Well, I can tell you one thing. We didn't want to draw the Iowa team in our heat, and that's who we drew. So we were pretty nervous to run up against those 270s Camaros. They were pretty tough looking, and then Kyle Ball had that other one on the HTFSU team, and that thing was just sick. He had that 8-bolt rear end in it and built 4.3 and everything, and I think the Iowa ones were pretty close. I didn't get quite as good of a look at those, but running against them, I knew they were hard. That pointy on the front of it put a pretty big dent in my car, so.
Yeah, I mean, them things were just... we've seen them in almost every show we've gone to, and they're just amazing. They're sick. I mean, it brings a whole new concept to a compact car right there.
Oh yeah. Bill Miller and Trevor Pedke built those two Camaros that we saw that were just eye popping.
Oh.
And that was a Redneck Rumble.
Yeah.
And man, ever since then, my impression and expectation of compacts is completely different.
When I seen them, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, these things are going to be nasty. And then they didn't let me down at all. I was like...
Well, look at Brandon Dixon when he had that Mustang.
Yes.
It was like a 94 Mustang.
Yeah.
And it was a stout car.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon's no slouch for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is your car a choice, Illumina?
Yeah, we pretty much run all front-wheel drives. Me and my brother have been running for about 10 years, and the guys on my team are pretty similar. And I think between all four of us, we've probably ran two rear-wheel drive cars our entire career.
Oh, wow.
So we kind of like to stick with the front-wheel drive. We know them pretty well, but it's always fun running against those guys, too. I'm not going to lie. I'm not the biggest gearhead or motorhead out there, so that's kind of why we stick to the front-wheel drives. We can find them running and driving. And
sure.
But you're
put them together pretty quickly, so.
Your select brand is Illumina, then, huh?
We don't stick just to Illumina, though. We'll run the littler cars, too. It's fun to get in those smaller shows sometimes, too. We have some shows around here that are the smaller wheelbase, and it's fun to get in back in a Beretta or a Celebrity or Taurus or anything like that. So. Mm-hmm.
Never really thought about the Taurus being a smaller wheelbase than Illumina, but...
It's a little bit smaller. They run a 105, I think. So if you get into a 106 show where the Luminas can't get in, it's always fun to bring a Taurus there. So.
that'll cover it.
Pretty much.
Andy Vona's built some tough Tauruses.
Oh, there's a select group of guys up here that build some nasty compacts, and everybody keeps saying, "Oh, you got to try them. You got to try them." No.
Well,
sorry.
I mean, how much more beat up do you get? Have you ever had the opportunity to run a full size car, Brian?
I've never ran a full size car, so I wouldn't be the guy to talk to you.
I mean,
but my whole career has been compact.
I think you can compare them to a newer style Vic, really.
Yeah,
Illumina.
The beating that you take in one of those is comparable to a new style Vic. You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
If I was to guess.
Because you haven't been in a small car.
No, I was in a minivan.
You were in a van?
Minivan.
When was that?
That was a few years ago. Trumansburg.
Oh, okay. A safari?
No.
No.
No. It was a Grand Caravan.
Well, you never know. I mean, you like to do things on a big scale, Ben.
That put a different concept I called it a compact show, but it was a minivan, so.
Yeah.
But I want some iron around me.
So, well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that those cars are kind of built in an era where they're designed to take an impact and you know, to transfer everything around you. You go through, you stiffen all that stuff up, you're going to transfer it right to yourself, and there's no metal to absorb the blow anymore.
Well, I'm used to seeing, like, 6 or 8 feet out in front of me.
Yeah.
Not, you know, looking out into space pretty much in front of me. It's like, no.
How fast were you going when you rolled that dude over?
My rollover was pretty slow, actually. I'm not going to brag it up or anything. I kind of just caught him in the front tire, and I think more of it was he kind of hopped up and drove up onto my hood. So it was kind of a slow rollover, but first time I've ever rolled someone, so.
Hey, it's a rollover. That's all. Rollover's a rollover. Don't matter if it's a slow one or a fast one.
rollovers are rollovers, and the bank doesn't care how hard you hit when you catch the jack.
Right.
Exactly.
I'll tell you guys this about how hard we were going out there. Some of our W bodies, they have the wiring harnesses set up, so they got to hot wire that tranny, and it starts in first gear, and then they have a toggle switch to grab second, and one of our guys grabbed second. So
nice.
We were cruising around pretty good.
Nice. I personally love it. Derbies, hearing people shift.
Yeah,
I love it because they get wound up, and the next thing you know, they shift. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a good one. You know they're pouring the coal on then.
Did Jason Sherman shift at all when he had his Lumina and Morris?
Nah, I don't.
He was more being a surgeon, but when he had open space, he used it.
Oh, yeah.
He used it.
Yeah.
That 55, I don't even know what that wagon was supposed to be. I thought it was a Taurus wagon, but then I had to look at it in the playback, and it was a Subaru.
Subaru, yeah.
And he opened that thing up.
That almost got red flagged because I almost red flagged it because he was hitting him so hard it was actually bowing the seat bar. It was bending the seat bar behind the seat. I mean, yeah,
compacts hit too.
Yeah, I mean, he had him pinned right up against the blocks, and he was backing all the way across the track and coming and just sending him right into the blocks. I mean, he definitely sensed blood there at the end of the show. He was ready to get it over with.
He had a pretty heavy bumper on the front. Travis Charleston was the first six cylinder car. He had a Lumina, same idea as what we were talking about with Brian. He had a pretty heavy bumper on the front of that too. That was the first I've ever seen one of those bumpers on the front, and it was like, whoo. He means business, and they held up just fine.
Hey, first one I ever seen was I got to bring his name up. It was Brett. Had a monocle bumper on the front of a Subaru over to Weedsport.
Yeah,
in a youth car.
Wow.
Yeah.
You horse around with trying to replace the bumpers on the fronts of those at all?
Do we mess around with it?
Yeah. Any of the, I mean, you get a real nice pointed bumper and hang it out on the front of those Luminas. They seem to be able to take it.
Yeah, well, what we were running down there was primarily, I think we had 3 76 Buick bumpers that were fully plated. We plated every hole on them, and then we had a Doba bumper on one of them. But my 76 Buick, I basically flattened it out, and frame rail was still straight. So that's how hard those cars are up front, I guess. But it's a whole different ballgame down there when they allowed that plating back to the A-arms now, so... Never seen that before. It was quite an experience for us, actually.
It makes it that much more tougher.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We learned a W body will bend in a different spot than where it usually does. So.
It'll move.
Yeah, exactly.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, man, we look forward to seeing you in Wadena for sure, and hopefully, if. You keep working on those guys. They'll expand that and run that team compact format in 2015. I'm hoping so. I want to see it.
That's what we're hoping for. I guess all I could say at this point is if there's guys out there that are interested in something like that, get a hold of me or get a hold of the guys that are running Wadena and let them know you'd be interested. Because if it gets big enough, I know they want to make the show bigger or whatever, and that's probably an option out there would be those compacts if there's guys out there still.
Sign the petition. Get the word out. Wadena Team Show. It's August 16th this year, 2014. It's full-size teams. Looks like there's $4,000 on the line with a minimum of 8 teams and up to $6,000 on the line if they start getting up closer to 20. So, you know, those full-size teams, do it, and make sure you get make sure you get word out there that you compact guys want to have a team program and see if you can't get that thing launched for 2015, because we're behind you. We're behind you 100%. We want to see it.
The more the merrier.
Even that's just right. A reminder for those full-size guys, I think the deadline for pre-registration is coming up here in July, so if anyone's interested, check it out. We'd like to get a big show up in this area, so...
It's taking form, man. I mean, the rules for the full-size stuff are pretty much perfect. The rules are wheelhouse rules. Man, whatever you're good at building, you can build a tough version of it to fit those rules and be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And the compacts are going to be out there. The compact trucks are going to be out there, and then they're doing the chain-and-go full-size trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And rules for those cars are pretty stout, too.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty similar to what we built for Mayhem, to be honest, because they're local rules from around here. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, man, I appreciate it. Before we let you go, I'm sure you got some people that you want to thank for helping you get into the winner's circle at Mayhem.
Yeah, for sure. Well, first, I just want to give a shout-out to all the other teams there. It was a heck of a show by everyone. We all put on a show and hopefully brought some respect to the compact guys out there. And otherwise, I just want to thank my teammates that went down there and then our pit crew. We had a lot of guys go down there, and it was great to have them because it was a lot of work. But we made it happen, and other than that, thank my wife, I guess, for supporting me and letting me do this. So.
There you go.
Excellent, man. Well, we look forward to seeing you again, and we'll be talking soon. Again, congratulations on that win out there at Metal Mayhem, and we're going to be talking with one of your competitors here in just a little bit. We're going to be catching up with Tony Brellinger here in just a few minutes. Brian, thanks a lot.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, man. Yep.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And there goes Brian Bruss. Brian's a cool dude.
How cool is that? Guy. We found a new spot where they're going to bend at. That never bent before.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's funny how an 18-inch plate in the front will do that.
It'll help. We got some folks to tell you about here. We're going to play that, and then we're going to be back here in just a minute or two with Tony Brellinger. So take a look, and we'll be back with you.
The rules are just right. Set aside July 19th for the reinvented Keystone Nationals. Again, this summer, Bo Lockwood will host the Keystone Nationals at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. A revamped rulebook will help welcome an all-star field as the limited well division takes center stage in a feature paying $5,000 to win. Pre-entries for the stock division are already full. For more details, join the Keystone Nationals community online at www.facebook.com/KeystoneNationals. Once again, the Keystone Nationals, July 19th, 2014, at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds, Brookville, Pennsylvania.
Total Destruction Demo Productions is primed for an explosive 2014. Based out of Trumansburg, Steve Manshaki and Lead Inspector Ben Hoff have a busy summer with four epic events over 7 nights scheduled all over New York State. The schedule starts with the Spring Fling in Morris, New York, June 14th. Total Destruction then hosts 2 nights of carnage at the Ontario County Fair in Canandaigua, New York, July 22nd and 26th. Then the grueling double down follows with the Otsego County Fair in Morris planned for July 31st and August 3rd, and the Franklin County Fair in Malone set for August 2nd and 4th. For more details, visit www.totaldestructiondemo.com or call 607-769-6820.
O'Reilly Auto Parts proudly presents the Plymouth County Fair, July 26th, Lamar's, Iowa. Promoter Brandon Tyson has teamed with Ultimate Derby to bring a national level to one of the most aggressive and largest county fairs in the Midwest. 3,000 to win modified, 1,500 to win stocks, and 1,000 to win compacts. Passengers are welcome if you dare to ride along. The event is streamed free to the public online with 10,000 people. All courtesy of O'Reilly Auto Parts, the Plymouth County Fair, July 26th, Lamar's, Iowa. Online at www.plymouthcoderby.com. That's www.plymouthcoderby.com. The Seneca County Fair will be held Thursday, July 17th and Saturday, July 19th in Waterloo, New York. The two-day format includes something for everyone with a taste for elimination motorsports. Thursday's card is headlined by the Junk Run, allowing S10 Blazers, Rangers, minivans, Jeeps, and Ford Explorers. The card will include qualifying, advancing full-size competitors to Saturday's full-size championship, and then it will kick off with the four-cylinder figure-eight races. Championship night is July 19th. A full menu of qualifying heats for full-size cars will set the field. Then the four-cylinder one-and-done will crown the 2014 small car champion. The night concludes with the full-size championship action, with winners representing Seneca County at the New York State Fair Championship Labor Day weekend in Syracuse, New York. That's the Seneca County Fair, July 17th and 19th. To learn more, visit the fair online at www.senecacountyfairny.com.
The Wadena Grand Slam will be the premier team format derby this summer at the Wadena County Fairgrounds, Wadena, Minnesota. A minimum of $4,000 awaits the one-day team format champions, with at least $800 also being paid to the winners of the chain-and-go trucks, compact trucks, and compact car divisions. The Wadena Grand Slam Team Derby, presented by Performance Rear Ends, Double Diamond Motorsports, and Custom Car Crushing and Recycling, starts at 2 p.m. August 16th. For rules and information, visit www.wadenacountyfair.com.
That's that. Make sure you check them out. Wadena County Fair, Wadena Grand Slam. It's going to be a fun one. We're looking forward to it. We got Tony Brellinger on the line now. He was out there running the team compacts at Metal Mayhem. Just want to say, you know, congratulations again at being part of that, Tony. Welcome to the show.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I'm a real big fan. It's really exciting being on the show. I've actually gone back. I know I had messaged you when you guys were at Bash for Cash, and I said I listen to you guys more than I listen to music now. Well, that's no longer true because I ran out of episodes.
Well, I hope we're not interrupting anything tonight. You had some time. You're okay. You're gonna be able to hang out with us here for a half hour or so before we turn you loose.
I'll stay on the line as long as you guys will have me.
Tony messaged us when we were out in Ohio, and you know, we traded some messages, and he was messaging me. I don't even know if he was aware of it. He was messaging me at the same time as the NDC stuff was launching. I was hitting every switch, turning everything on, and we're talking back and forth about, you know, all sorts of different stuff, and I'm watching Facebook and getting fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller, and I was talking with Tony, and I was happy to find out that he went and ran the team show out there at Metal Mayhem, and we had the opportunity to have two guys from that team format event on tonight, and Tony had some time, so I'm glad we were able to catch up and make that work, especially a guy that's been listening and now he's out of episodes. So he gets to go back and listen to himself, how he sounds on the podcast directly. You know what?
Yeah.
What tell us what some of your thoughts on Metal Mayhem's team format.
Well, I'll be honest, I feel like I'm still fairly green in the demo derby world. I've been doing it for about 5 years. I've only built about one or two cars locally, so Metal Mayhem was actually only the 8th derby I've ever ran. But, you know, I'll never forget that weekend for the rest of my life. Such a good time. And even one of my teammates, he's been doing compacts for like 10 years, and I know he's built 3, 4, 5 cars a year, and he said it was the most fun show he's ever ran in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know my other teammate, Ballsby, he said he already bought his car for next year, too.
Well, that's good.
We'll be back.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's quite a step up from not being in it for very long and then going and running a show like that.
Yeah, well, and getting third, I was, you know, that's crazy. I didn't expect to get out of the heat, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never know.
You got to be there. I mean, you got to be there and try.
Right?
You never know. I mean, we were talking a little bit with Brian about the team format with the compacts. Do you prefer the team format with compacts, or would you rather run one and dones?
I wish all of them were team compact shows now. Amazing. You know, a lot of shows that I go and run, there's kind of the buddy system, but you can show up there and you don't have any friends and you're going to get teamed on. But
yeah.
When you go to a team event, that doesn't happen. You're going to have guys there with you. And, well, the team we drew in our heat didn't have everyone there. They went through some hard times getting teammates. And I actually even tried to hook them up with one, but that fell through. But, you know, I think you got a lot better chance of being successful on a team show, you know, compared to going out there on your own, especially the show you're not local to.
Well, yeah, I mean, plus on top of that, a team show, a team atmosphere, I mean, you kind of expect what's going to go on, you know. It's not like going out in a normal show, you know. You really, you know, promoters try to police it, but it happens. Everybody knows it happens. You know, you get teamed up on two or three buddies, you know, go after you and team up on you, at least in a team atmosphere. You already expect it. So, plus you got whatever the team size is, you got two guys, three guys, or whatever on your side, too. So, I think that helps. A lot of guys, I think, like in the team format for that reason, you know.
Definitely.
But, no, that's awesome. I'm glad a lot of people go out to big shows and get a bad taste in their mouth after, you know, something crazy happens or it doesn't go as they think. And you guys had a really good run for hate to use the word, but less experienced, you know what I mean? Years of experience, you know what I mean?
Having 8 shows is still somewhat short. Short list of experience. I mean, when you're going to
right,
a show like
right,
that.
Right. Yeah, you got guys. I mean, you had guys with quite a few years experience on your team, but still, I mean, to go out of that caliber of show for the first time and just, you know, come out in that status, you can't complain about that at all.
No, like I said, I'll never forget that show the rest of my life, and it just, you know, it just fed my addiction more. So, no plans on quitting now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've done it 8 times. You've gone to the national platform. What's next for you, Tony?
Well, my hometown derby is Waterloo, Illinois, and that's in about a month. It's July 25th is the derby, and actually on the Wednesday night before is the figure eight. I've actually ran more figure eights than I have demo derby. That's actually what I started out in, and they never had a compact show at Waterloo until a year after I started figure eight. And I'm like, well, I got to get rid of this car. I'll derby it too, and I loved it, so now I'm doing that too. But I'm going to run Waterloo, and then I got a couple cars that I've picked up, and I'm not quite sure where I'm going to run them, but I want to get them junked this year at some point. And, you know, I'm thinking about building a Powder Puff car for Blizzard Bash for my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. You got to get out there, man. You got to get out there and see that.
Interested how it's going to turn out. It's going to be the first full-size car ever built, and then I'm going to put her in it. So.
Well, it's going to be, just so you know, it's going to be wrecked.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We'll wreck it too, trust me.
Yeah,
there's nothing that comes back from that show in one piece.
Oh, no. You know, kind of touching on her, she rode with me for the first time in April. She's always watching videotape, and You know, she told me nobody else is allowed to ride with me anymore because
yeah.
I think she's going to do pretty good.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can relate to you there. I had a lot of fun. I actually put my mom, my sister, and my wife in compact, or in not compact, but in powder puff cars. In
what powder puff cars?
Well, yeah, I put my mom put in a 74 Grand Fury, and I put my wife and my sister both in Imperials for powder puff. So I was. I could safe bet that I was the leading factor of why they got full-size cars got outlawed for the Powder Puff Derby. But, no, she'll have the time of her life. I mean, my wife, my mom, and my sister, they had a blast.
What are you going to build for her?
I have no idea.
No?
All I know is that I bought a 350 for a good price off of John Awney, a friend of mine. I think his parents passed away, and he had to sell his house, and he had the engine there, and he was having some back issues, and he said he was done. I was there helping him move, so I got first dibs on it, other than
nice
buddy John, but he already has two. So right. I picked it up, and I got a shifter, and that's all I got, right. So I got to start buying stuff.
Well, I can guarantee you, you can have all the build time you want in a garage when it comes to building that powder puff car. You won't have no problems.
No, wish I had a garage. I'm still rolling out in the rocks and puddles building cars. I don't even have a shop.
Yeah.
Roughing it.
Yeah. There's a lot of people still. There's a lot of people driveway building. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. My hat's off to them, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually glad I graduated to the rocks. I was building in weeds a couple years ago.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know, man. It sounds like the weeds would be a little bit softer than rocks, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, at least I'm not getting bit by chiggers in the rocks.
Yeah.
True. I suppose that is a plus, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we talked a little bit with Brian. He prefers Luminas. I mean, what's your cup of tea in terms of the compact cars?
Well, mine's Luminas now. Because
now?
No.
A couple years ago, I ran a full-frame G-body, and it was only the second or third car I ever built. And my teammate, Derek Timke, he drove a Cutlass W-body in front of me about four times and junked it in literally 3.5 minutes. So,
wow.
That's no more G-bodies and a lot more Luminas is what I'm going to be running.
So you said you're liking the the heats and feature format. You know, when you look at the carnage that was laid out there during the team heats, and then ultimately had to put everything back together. Tell us a little bit about what your thought there. I mean, did you come with enough stuff, or was there more things that you could have brought in terms of being prepared?
I had more stuff than everyone else on my team. I went out there. I had full set of axles, full set of struts. I had a whole monolith, which is a rear suspension on one. I had spare tires. I had 3 donuts. So I came prepared, but luckily I didn't need any of it. We actually used some of it. We almost got Steve Isom. We almost got his car put back together after they won the Conti miraculously with two guys. But he had his A-arms welded up, and we couldn't get the strut in there.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I like running the heats, you know. I just feel like you get more of a show out of it instead of going out there and running once. But then there's a plus side of that, too. I don't have to drag a bunch of tools and parts there, too. I just
sure.
Go watch the show, run my stuff, load it up, and go finish watching the rest of the show.
Right.
Right.
Would you, we talked a little bit about Wadena, and they've got that team program up there in coming up in August, and there's maybe some talk about expanding that to be a compact team show as well as 2015. Would you guys travel up to Wadena to support that?
Well, let me put it this way. I know I was listening in whenever Brian was on the phone, and he said he drove 5 hours south, and I had to drive 5 hours, or no, he drove 10 hours south, and I drove 5 hours north, so it'd be a 15-hour haul for me.
No, you still need to get to Wadena.
Wait, what's that?
You still need to get to Wadena. That just gets you to Brian's house. You still need to go the rest of the way north to Wadena.
Oh, it's north of him even?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, down for it.
Yeah, you're up there in polar bear country.
If I understand the geography right, I believe Wadena was north yet of him. But, I mean, even so, I think that'd be great if they could make that happen.
I would love to make that happen, but it is a haul.
Mm-hmm.
But what's next on your local schedule?
I think we went over that.
Did we?
Yeah, I'm running Waterloo.
Yes. Yeah, we did. We did hit Waterloo because I got so confused. We're talking about Waterloo and everybody, Josh Buell sitting home thinking that they go talking about Seneca County again. It's not New York. It's someplace else.
Oh, no,
else.
Waterloo, Illinois.
Is it tough to find stuff out there to build? I mean, you're in a pretty hot neck of the Derby world where you are. I mean, is it tough to track stuff down?
Well, you know, I know some guys have problems, but I just keep my eyes peeled on Craigslist constantly because I only live about half hour out of downtown St. Louis, and, you know, you can pick some cars up in there. There's people that, you know, they have cars, they don't know how to work on them, so they just sell them,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. So that's usually where I pick my cars up at. And the full-size stuff, I don't know where these guys are pulling it out of. No idea.
Yeah.
New Mexico.
Yeah, Arizona, Utah, California.
They're traveling to find it.
All my friends that I have friends that run Derby, but all of them run full size. I'm about one of my only close friends that really runs compacts, and there's a couple of us, but not too many. But the only place I know that they usually find cars is through older Derby guys that have been doing it, and they got a stash.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. They start looking at the pile they got, and they say, I'm not going to run that much longer. You got to do something with them. Can't build them that fast.
The profit margin's a little greater now
yeah.
than when they were bought.
Oh, that's for sure. $25, $50, $100 free cars.
Yeah.
I was talking about this online on WeCrash. I'm on there too much, kind of a junkie, but we were discussing a show that doesn't have too high of a payout, and they said there was $300 to win for a compact, and I said, I haven't bought a compact for under $300 in over 5 years. The first car I bought was under $300, and that was only one. Jeez. Everything else I've paid more than that to get. I mean, I don't know if other guys have a good hookup, but I really don't have, like, a towing yard hookup or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think pretty much everything is over $500 at this point, everything I'm hearing about.
$500 and up, pretty much.
I mean, I picked up my Metal Mayhem car, you know. That was almost $500. It was $500 after fuel. You know, it was running and driving, but it had a knock, and I had to put a different motor in it, another car that I bought to scrap, so.
Mm. Right.
Oh, yeah. Years ago, that was the whole thing. I mean, the prices of cars was low, and then price of fuel was low, so, I mean, you didn't really have a boatload of money. Now you're going to have the same amount of money, if you got to travel to get the car, you're going to have the same amount of money in fuel as you are, if not more, than what the car costs. So, I mean, you take a $1,500 shell and it turns into about a $2,500 shell by the time you go pick it up.
Yeah.
Do you run high-performance fuel in your Derby cars, or you just run regular pump gas?
I just run 93 in mine.
Yeah, it's still 450 a gallon.
Well, actually, you know, gas is pretty cheap out here. I think I only paid about $390 for it.
Right.
But still.
Yeah. Still cheaper than 14-something a gallon for 110 Sunoco or 112.
What was that was running out of that compact car in Morris?
Oh, it was – he had some –
That's Sunoco Blue, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he had he spent a lot of money in race gas in a compact car, and he ended up getting up on top of another compact car, and it ripped his fuel tank wide open, so
and it was pouring onto the track.
Yeah, he dumped about 8 gallons on a track in about 30 seconds, and it was at least $9-$10 a gallon race gas.
And that's an expensive hit.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and that ended his night.
Yeah,
that was it, didn't go any further than that. Fuel leak like that, it's time to park it because there was puddles. The whole Derby, they ended up having to push the whole Derby down to the opposite end of the track just to get away from the fuel, let it
yeah, because I had to talk the fire department out of it. They wanted to light it on fire to burn it off.
I'm like, been burning for 15 minutes.
Yeah, we would have been here for an hour waiting for it to burn off.
Well, I'm excited for you, Tony. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing you at Blizzard Bash for sure. And
we'll at least be there to watch for sure. You know, I watched you guys. You know, I think that was the first time I ever heard of you guys when you guys were doing the kind of like the intermission stuff in between.
We're doing the whole thing this year, I believe. The way that I understand is they're flipping the switch and we have to talk for the entire time that the cameras run.
Oh, wow. A lot of work for you guys.
You're
going to
be fed up with us by the time we're done.
Oh, wow.
But I do look forward to meeting all you guys, you know. I was kind of upset that Decker wasn't on there. I was going to ask him why he didn't autograph my NDC shirt that came in the mail.
Yeah, we were busting on him when we were doing all them.
He was not having that great of a time because every shirt that he put into an envelope, we were kind of reminding him that he needed to sign that one, to sign that one, to sign that one.
Yeah, and it was about, what, 90 out on the porch that
night? It was about 97 degrees and 106% humidity when we were doing all that stuff after hours one night. And, man, we got a lot of them out. We just sent another batch of them out again today. I mean, things are filling up. Things are filling up fast. And Guard Speed Shop, they got that raffle for the first 150 people in. Even if you don't run an engine combination that would warrant having a two-barrel carburetor and an aftermarket distributor, you still win it, and you can turn around and sell that to somebody. But somebody like Tony, who's got that 350 that maybe he wants to do a little bit of work on.
Yeah, that'll wake her up a little bit.
Be right up your alley.
Hey, that was my first question. I saw it, Josh had put something on Facebook about new members signing up. I'm like, well, I already signed up. And he said, well, I'm in it too then. So
yeah, it's the first 150 members. It's not the next 50 or next 150 right. From when that release went out. It was from day one until we hit number 150.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, you're in, Tony.
Sounds good. And you know, if you don't mind, I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Go for it.
You see, you know, I was listening in on the episode on that Sunday morning a couple weeks ago you guys had. And
Sunday morning coffee with the crash course.
Well, Josh, you know, he had mentioned about, you know, $30. You've blown $30. I know I've spilt more beer worth $30, way more than $30 in my life. And, you know, it's not a lot of money. I figured I'd give it a shot. I read up on it. It makes sense. You guys are focused in on the right portions of the sport, I think. You know, the parts that do need attention. And I like that you guys aren't focusing on the rules, you know, because you'll never get that unified, I don't think, especially throughout the whole country or Canada or even if they're running to Mexico, you're not going to make it happen. you know, I like that somebody, you know, if you guys weren't doing it, if nobody was doing anything, you wouldn't make it any better. Someone's got to at least try if they want to make it better. Really appreciate you guys are taking the initiative and trying to do something for the sport.
We're trying. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's been met with both pluses and pros and cons, you know, and we'd like to think that we're going the right direction and we're doing the right thing, and the people that have bought into it and believe in it and can see the vision on the bigger scale, you know, we appreciate the support, and the people that have elected to just kind of sit back and wait and watch it, well, I hope you like what you see, and the guys that don't like it, we kind of knew that some people weren't going to like it.
Yes.
And those guys, that's your option. You know, and we appreciate the fact that you believe spiritedly in what you believe, and you know, we just ask that you guys also in turn give everybody else the opportunity to believe spiritedly in what they choose to believe in. You know, you don't need to go around and tear those guys down just because they're signing up. And people like Tony, they're the guys that are new into the sport. You know, he just talked about getting the 350. He's talking about building the full size car for the Powder Puff Show, Blizzard Bash, you know, trying to move up that ladder a little bit, 8 shows in. That's the kind of guy that we don't want to lose, because the future of the sport is going to rely on those guys. Tony even alluded to it, those guys that have the stockpiles that aren't really looking to build. They're not going to build all those cars by the time their driving career is over with. What are they going to do with them? They're going to pass those cars down onto somebody. That's where the sport's going to lie.
It's a group effort for sure. I mean, and it's all realms of the sport. I mean, it's from the fans to the drivers to everybody. So, I mean, it's definitely strength in numbers, and the numbers are, more and more people find out, the numbers are getting bigger. And
Little by little.
I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah, and, you know, I know some people say, oh, it's a dying sport, you know, the cars are running out.
It ain't dying.
Like dying, I think it's more evolving, you know? As long as there's cars out there and they're running, I think people are going to be crashing them into each other. You know, I know some people don't like it, all just full-size cars only, that's it. But they're still building full-frame trucks today.
Oh, yeah.
Here, they're putting millions of them out.
Between the full-frame trucks that are still being produced, and I don't know where in that north-central part of the country where they're finding the old trucks that they have, but there's guys that have stockpiles of these crazy trucks like what we saw in Minnesota
the 60s Dodge and the 60s, Fords.
Yeah.
I don't know
where they're digging those things up, but there's plenty of those things still around too.
Yeah, I mean, because that's pretty much. I mean, people had them stockpiled. They had them piled out in their junkyards out back. He's like, I got a whole line of trucks. Man, we ain't never going to run trucks. Now guess what? We're running trucks. You know, so it's
and there's more than enough compact cars to go around. Yeah, more than enough.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's like it's joking with Josh. We'll be smashing smart cars, you know, before derbies are over, you know.
And really, I mean, the
Bills is new. You know, that wasn't done until a few years ago. You know, like I said, it's evolving. You know.
Yeah.
And the Crown Vicks, they made an awful lot of those.
It, I think.
There's an awful lot of Crown Vicks out there too. I don't think you're going to run out of those anytime soon.
Oh. I think I'll have me one of those here in a couple years. Maybe next year, we'll see.
That motor will look awful nice in it.
Mm-hmm. Get real good deals on 03 and newer Vicks now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've been looking forward to getting in there because I'm really getting sick and tired about hearing how I'm melting Barbies into my plastic cars.
What?
Melt away. It just makes them stronger, buddy. It just makes them stronger.
John Awning, he's got his kids with him. They roll down the window and say, hey, you need more Barbies to melt into your derby car, your plastic derby car? Oh, man.
Say, sure, drop them off. Everyone helps. Oh, boy.
Wow. I haven't heard that one before. That's pretty funny.
Well, I'll have to remember that one.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
He's a real comedian.
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody has their flavor of derby car. I mean, there's people that run full size cars that won't touch a truck. Yep. You know, and
there's people that run compact cars that won't touch a full size.
Won't touch a full size. It's like you guys are nuts. Well, yeah, okay. You know, I think you guys are nuts. You know, but I mean, it's whatever. Whatever you like doing, pretty much. I mean, and that's what keeps us evolving and keeps the sport going. You know, if it wasn't for compact guys, I mean, that's a lot of people love watching compacts. A lot of people love, you know, watching trucks, you know, all different parts. So you need all them parts of the pieces of the pie to make it work. Make it work. Yeah.
And I guarantee if I do start building some full size stuff, I'm not going to stop building compact stuff for sure. I'm definitely going to keep doing that. Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty much fair warning to everybody?
Oh, yeah, I ain't quitting.
I'm not out of your hair yet.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of upset with that Metal Mayhem show. It was a couple times. The two things I remember most about that show, one, I had about a three-quarter track shot lined up, and one of those lime green cars, I can't remember their name, he decided to pull his front wheel right in front of my bumper, and then on the next one, I had a full tracker going. I was hauling. And I saw one, I think it was Tyler Sedlicek, in the 50. He had his driver's door right in front of me, so I had to lay in the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't happy about that one either. I didn't really get to lay down too many crazy hits, but I still went out there and did some hitting.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way to do it. I know you mentioned a couple of guys a little bit earlier. Is there anybody else that you want to thank real quick before we let you go here? We're just about out of time.
I want to thank. You know, my whole teammate, all my teammates, you know, Jeff Aiken, he goes by Ballsy. You know, he was the team captain. And Kyle Ball, he had that wicked Camaro on our team. That thing was awesome. That thing, I was drooling over that thing all weekend. And Derek Timke, you know, I gave him one call, and he was instantly on the team, and I'm glad he made it up. And, you know, I really want to thank all the other teams for being there too, because, you know, we really put on a show, and, you know, like I said, most memorable show I've ever run. I'll remember it the rest of my life. And, you know, I really want to thank DI for giving us a shot at the spotlight, and I really think it paid off, because when we were standing out there on the track after the feature, the crowd was chanting, bring back the compacts. It was awesome. And, you know, he gave us a lot of recognition on Saturday for how we ran on Friday. You know, it's just, you know, there's a lot of people that helped me on my car, too. I didn't even have a finish when I got there. I was still doing stuff when I got there. And everybody that touched that car for 1 minute they put on it helped me get it there. And, you know, my girlfriend Dana Schwering, she put in the time on it. Big John Bush, he helped me. Zach Wienhoff put head gaskets on the motor. TJ Irvin, he was welding on the rear suspension, getting that built for me. Devin Prost put a battery, and I think he helped put the gas tank in there too. And Jim Breedy, he floated me for some steel for the back of the car, so...
Nice.
I couldn't have done it with any of those guys.
You got to have help. You got to have sponsors. You got to have all that stuff to make it work.
Sure do.
You guys looking to sponsor anyone?
I can't even begin to tell you how many times I get asked that question. Can't even begin. Hey, can you want to send me some decals? I can send you the images if you want to go to. I'm sure you have a decal shop hookup, and I'd be happy to send you some pictures, and you can make them printed and do whatever you got to do. Man, I wish we could. I mean, I certainly wish that we could. I wish that we could sponsor more people and try to help them out a little bit with some of their derby programs. We're in the same spot as everybody else. We just don't have the opportunity to do that right now. We'll have to talk a little bit. I mean,
you guys grow enough that you're able to do that, but at least somebody.
There's a ton of people that we would love to help. I mean, we've gotten some decals for people and stuff like that that are sort of friends with us and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not outside the realm of conversation, but in terms of sponsorships and spending $500 for cars and stuff like that and covering entry fees and stuff, it's just, we're just not up to that point yet. I wish we were. I would be glad if we were. Things would be a lot easier at my house if we were, but we're just not there yet, you know?
Yeah, I understand. I just thought, you know, it wouldn't hurt to ask.
It never hurts to ask. It's a great point. But, Tony, man, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us and certainly appreciate the support. I mean, Tony has not wavered at all in terms of, once he found out about it, he was watching every episode. Once he found out about it, you know, he was messaging and talking about, you know, do you ever think about talking about this? Do you ever think about talking about that? The NDC stuff broke, and he was right on top of that. So, I mean, that's the kind of guy that you want in your corner.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, it was really an honor to be on the show. If you guys ever want me back, I'm be more than willing. Just let me know when.
We'll do that. We'll be talking. Especially if you're going to be at Blizzard Bash, stop up by the booth and we'll get you on. Stop up by the booth. We'll find a way to get you on.
All right. Sounds great.
All right, man. Well, I sure do appreciate it. Take care now.
All right. Thanks. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too.
And there goes Tony Brellinger. Just about out of time already. It went fast tonight. I was surprised. It went real fast.
Yeah,
you know, just without apparently we can do a show without Josh and apparently we got
extra help tonight.
Yeah, we got
extra help tonight. That's all right.
Alan came with me to check out what the studio looked like and he was playing some Nick Jr. and you probably saw a tuft of blonde hair there hanging out in the background every now and again, but he's ready to go too. But amazingly we pulled it off without Brian and Josh and Josh, I gotta believe, is probably home signing autographs, catching up on glossy 8x10s that have to be sent out.
I gotta apologize. I gotta work on my vocal skills a little bit more, but hey,
that's
you
all
know
right.
What? It's I hung in there.
We did fine. Guys, that's gonna do it for us. We appreciate it. Jump online, check it out. We appreciate you joining us. That's gonna do it for this edition of the Crash Course. We'll see you next week.